You are about to hear something which is so good, you may need medical attention after this. Only joking. It's time for the interviews with Adam Wood.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Fine yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, this bright and breezy morning.
Yeah. Well, we were in the car at 5:30. It was just dark. It was awful and dark.
Oh, brutal. And you're 15, aren't you?
Yeah, 15, yeah.
You must be the only 15-year-old who gets up at 5:00 out of choice on a Sunday. That's a remarkable achievement.
Looks good on a CV. And so I got the press release, and so in Edinburgh 19, so you started comedy in 1998, is that right?
I did start, yeah, 1998, when I was, goodness me, you were probably, well, you must have been a babe in arms at that point.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, goodness me.
So you followed in comedy legends such as Peter Kay, Thomas Tyrannian, does that say, in Dylan Moran?
Tommy Tiernan, yeah, and Dylan Moran, yeah, yeah.
So when you stormed the So You Think You're Funny competition, and you won that.
Right, yep.
So what, do you have massive influences? Are you observational, or do you just make it all up, or?
You can't just make it all up, Adam, otherwise you might struggle to have a decent act, and or it might not have a ring of truth about it, but I tend to, my stuff tends to be based on my life and things that happen to me. So I tend to draw on experiences that are right under my nose, if I'm honest. That's how I tend to do it. But I don't actually sit there and actually write. Like, I don't know many comics who do. I think it just kind of, it sort of dawns on you, you know, like an idea in the shower or whatever. And then, that becomes like a seed of an idea. And then I try it out in front of an audience and it slowly builds, kind of gradually builds. Or some of it just comes in a big lump. It's hard to pin down how you write and how it comes together, but I think it's a mental illness thing, a comedian, if I'm quite honest. You know, it just stops me barking at people at bus stops because I get to do it at strangers for a living on the stage.
And people pay to see it.
Exactly, yeah. It's kind of, which is only validating my illness, isn't it? Maybe it's helping me to stop, I don't know.
How does travelling, like, because obviously you'll travel to gigs up and down the country, does that ever get to you? Do you enjoy driving? Do you not like, does that?
Well, if I don't enjoy driving, I can always get on a train or save up and get a helicopter. I've never got a helicopter. I have two very small children at home, so I'll be honest with you, a few hours in the car, it's kind of peace and quiet. Or because I'm knackered, you know, everyone is with kids. Then what I do, I sneakily leave for work 30 minutes early and then pull over in the services and have a sleep in the car like an absolute rock and roller. And that's the glamorous side of my life that I really probably shouldn't have told you about.
Do you find that, do you have like a book, say you find something funny, do you write it down and then do you look at that the next day and go, what was that? Are you that?
Yeah, often. The amount of times you write things down, you know, at the dead of night, or if you're a little bit drunk and then look about it the next day and say, what? Turnips in hat? What on earth was that about? You know, when you look at it. Or, but I've got loads of pieces of notepaper that look like the scrawlings of a serial killer, all folded up neatly in a kind of mildly OCD kind of manner, which I keep in my back pocket, get transferred into my bag, and they get transferred into, instead of actually writing in notebooks, they get folded into the leaves of the notebooks and break the spine of the notebooks. And then they're just huge piles of these weird-looking little pieces of paper. And then eventually that becomes a show.
How does, I'm a massive fan of 8 out of 10 Cats, so what was that like? Was that?
It's great fun, really good fun. Well, I think I've done it about 3 times, I think. But no, it's good, as you'd imagine, it's good fun, you know, you're on with funny people.
Yeah.
And you're having a laugh, and what's not to like?
Do some comics prefer TV audiences, or do you prefer, like, when you go on tour, do you like that particular audience, or do you prefer a TV audience?
I think all comics are totally the same, that if they do live comedy, then the live comedy is the best thing, because it's completely unedited, and you can do and say exactly what you want, and for as long as you want. And you're not kind of, you know, you're not competing with someone else to be heard, all that kind of stuff. And ultimately, that's kind of where you started. And it's the natural progression of being a comic is to want to take it out on tour and do longer and bigger shows, really. Yeah, so live stuff is where the real fun is. And
do you find, like, celebrity juice? Do you like, it's Lee Francis, isn't it, his real name?
Yeah.
Do you not find him just a bit rude, not funny? Or do you find him funny?
I think by the time you've been a comedian for 14 years, it's hard to find anyone rude. You know what I mean? There's very little that I find rude. I think he's brilliant at what he does, and he's a clown, isn't he?
He's not
a very old-fashioned version of a clown, I think. You know, it's quite an old-fashioned kind of traditional court jester thing that he does. He's circus, and then smashes it up in front of everyone, and that's kind of, I think that's what everyone likes, really, you know.
Oh, I don't find Keith Lemon funny at all.
You're not a fan?
No.
See, that's the other thing, is it's all, you know, all stuff is very subjective. Very subjective. Well, how come you don't find it funny? I mean, I think a taste that you find it too rude, or...
No, it's not the rudeness, it's just the stuff he does. Like, celebrity juice to me is just vile. It's cheap TV.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't watch it myself.
No, I don't. It's one of these things, it's all down to taste. Do you find you get a teenage audience, or do you get an older audience?
I get all sorts, really. It depends where they've seen you, or where they've heard of you, or where you're playing, really. I don't think it matters. I think all that matters is that you crucially don't change what you do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't change who you are, and I think that's all you can do as a comic, or any kind of artist, really, is just be true to yourself, and do the thing that you do, and don't think, all right, there's loads of young people in, I can't talk about my kids, or there's loads of old people, and I can't talk about that bit that's a bit rude, because everyone understands, they all get it, they're all alive, they're all human beings, they're all bright, and that's why they've come along, you know. I think probably maybe something you were tapping into there with Celebrity Juice is, I think there's a lot of comedy now that is aimed specifically at age groups, or that's what's talked about it, rather than whether it's any good or not, and I think you know, like you'll listen to music. You had one B on there, I believe.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But you'd probably just get as much. You know, you'd understand listening to a Bob Dylan song or the relevance of all of those things, which wasn't aimed directly at you at 15.
No.
And why shouldn't you? You know,
yeah.
That's life, isn't it? You're meant to. There's lots of different stuff for us to kind of get our teeth into, and I don't think we don't need to be prescriptive with what we put towards people. I think you should just tell your story and let people follow it. I think that's what you can do.
I liked what The Independent wrote on there. It says, praise for Rob. Rob Rouse, cartoon face and cheeky banter allow him to get away with murder.
Yeah, I've murdered. I've struck many times, and I will strike again. But they'll never pin it down on me because of my cheeky face.
Yeah, and your witty banter.
Exactly. Even at 8:20 on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, you can get away. 8:20, I know. One of the... I like read... Just for Last Festival, and even Internet Phenomenon with his now-famous pet duck. Can you explain a bit more about the pet duck?
Well, Shaniqua, God rest her soul, is no longer with us, but we used to have a pet duck, and with her we made 10 spoof movie trailers, which are all on my website, robrouse.com.
The commercial plug.
Boom! There it is. Didn't think One Direction didn't have someone fighting really hard to get their record played on the station every single morning and across the world. That's what we're fighting.
Yeah.
The behemoth that is One Direction. I'm fighting it with my funny duck films. And I'm going to say it again, they're on robrouse.com. Go and look at them. You can kill an afternoon there when you're meant to be at work, busy at your desk. Why not sit there chuckling to my silly films? But, we made some... I did some stand-up on Comedy Central with the duck, and that's kind of where it came from, really. It was just one of those mad ideas you have. Well, not a mad idea, just an idea, where you think, that's what I should do. Your first silly thought is often the one that you should follow, I think. Your instinctive thoughts, and that's what that... And we didn't really kind of think it through, we just went for it, and it worked out really nicely.
So, do you feel that comedy's becoming a lot more internet-based, and you can get a lot more of an audience by uploading things on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter? Do you think that massively helps?
I don't know, really. I mean, it's one of those really tricky things, isn't it? Because you know, we're told that it's the way forward, and it's the thing you've really got to do. But then again, you look at what's got the biggest number of hits on YouTube, and it's like a cat sneezing.
Or Fred.
Exactly, or a woman who might be about to show her bra to Bass Hunter or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? So actually, it's hard to work. what breaks through and makes it becomes popular on the internet? It seems like it seems like an absolute lottery. Because I've put some brilliant things on the internet, Adam, but not enough people have watched.
So that's Rob Rouse on YouTube.
If you go to our website, there's a link up to the channel. It's dead easy to find.
These are brilliant, these kind of interviews, because I've had bands on before, and you try and get them to plug themselves, and it's like, just say the website.
Yeah.
You do it yourself.
That's all I say, Adam. That's what, you know, when I do these interviews, robrouse.com, I just make sure that, you know, it's kind of embedded, robrouse.com, within... The context of what I'm talking about, robrouse.com. Does that make sense, robrouse.com?
Some kind of subconscious message you just
keep... It's a subliminal robrouse.com piece of advertising that is just slowly washing over your listeners' ears, robrouse.com. And before they know it, they're on robrouse.com, enjoying robrouse.com. Do you know what I mean? Robrouse.com.
Yeah. It says here, Rob is also recording for the second series of Radio 4's Everyone Quite Likes Justin, due to air later this year. Is that something you plan, like Radio 2 do comedy sessions and Radio 4 do it? Do you want to get more into that side and do...
Well, I've done quite a bit of it in my time. That was literally just a part that, that I got in the show that Justin Morehouse wrote and asked me to do. And he's a good friend of mine and a mate, and I really like his stuff and I like the show, so... I did it as simple as that, I've written a few bits and bobs for scripts for the telly, which I'm seeing if people are interested in at the moment, and details of that aren't at robrouse.com, but I just keep plugging away with the stand-up and enjoying doing that, and then other things kind of come off it, because you meet people, people see you, or just it gives people an idea, or, you know, like that, but... stand-up is the beginning, middle, and end of it all for me. You know, that's my job, is what I do. That's apart from obviously working on robrouse.com.
And that's Rob Rouse on Twitter.
At Rob Rouse on Twitter, yeah. All that links, those links are all on robrouse.com.
This is a thing which is massive, like Dave, the channel Dave has got loads of comedy. Do you think that's like... Do you find it weird watching yourself back on these channels and going, that's me, I'm on TV?
I tend not to watch them. I tend to just check them, sort of, in a strange, cursory, kind of vaguely, kind of anal, not really involving myself in it kind of way. Almost like watching it through my hands, and then check it's all right, and then check that I don't like it, and then I have an opinion about it, which I can then grind around in my head and make myself ill with, and then just accept that it's out there. I think that's it is a weird thing, because. Your stand-up ideas, when you're doing them, they're different every night. They're evolving every night. It develops each time you do it. And then when you record it, it's almost like you kind of lock it down as being... That's what it is, at least for me, because I'm not like a one-liner comic. I don't tend to just... it's not the same stuff repeated time and time again. So it's a bit weird when I find when I record stand-up, because then that gets repeated in that form. And then... You might still be work. That idea may have changed into something else for you. It's an interesting thing. I think you also just have to let stuff go. You know, you just have to let it go and not worry about it.
I like this bit of the press release. Rob now finds himself becoming a staunch radical feminist and trapped inside the body of an emotionally stifled 38-year-old man.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, we had a daughter this time round. Our second baby was a daughter. And it does affect the way you see the world, I think. You know, I think for most blokes it does, because a little girl into this world that's dominated and run by quite aggressive men, all told, isn't it, when you look at the system? So I'm now on there, totally on your side, sisters. Me and everyone at robrouse.com are backing the sisters. That's what we're doing, obviously, without neglecting the boys.
So, thanks for coming on this morning.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.